When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Tony Dunn, and not to it but to do it, brother. Let's roll.
In a world where Carolina Panthers fans have an insatiable thirst for Panthers news and opinions, only one podcast roars ferociously. It's the C3 Panthers Podcast.
Welcome in, Panther fans. We've got a special edition of the C3 Beat Check tonight as we get ready to preview, or as we prepare, for the Carolina Panthers to host the Indianapolis Colts. The Panthers are coming off of their first victory. They're going to be, I guess, going against a team that in some respects there should be a fighting chance to contend and maybe even win this game here, but turns out the Colts are pretty feisty this season. So we're going to try to get to know the Colts today. Thanks for tuning in to the C3 Panthers podcast. Go ahead, smash the thumbs up button, subscribe. I'd like to welcome in our guest, Lawrence Owen, host of Believe in Colts. Welcome to the C3 Panthers podcast.
Hey, appreciate you reaching out and having me on, man. Anytime.
Excellent, man. CK in the house, dog whistle CK.
Yeah. Well, no. Maybe it's gone. I don't know. It's just random at this point in time. But yeah, I'm happy to be here. And it's interesting. It's nice to pick the brain of somebody who is able to have a lot more insight on the opposing team that we're going to be facing this week. And happy to have you here, Lawrence.
The C3 Beat Check is our opportunity to look outward. We spend hours and hours, particularly on Tuesday nights, breaking down the Carolina Panthers to every single play, every single emotion, every single, body language to anything. But sometimes we get so inwardly focused looking in the mirror, we need a little help looking outward to the teams that we're going to be playing. So the C3 Beat Check is our opportunity to catch up with an expert of the opposing team. And this week we're hosting the Colts. Man, the Colts, better than expected, right? I mean, or is that me? Is that me on the outside thinking, hey, look, two teams right now, some similarities between the Carolina Panthers and the Colts, right? One, Frank Reich coming from the Indianapolis Colts is now our coach. Two, new coaching staffs for both of these teams. Three, started with rookie quarterbacks. Unfortunately, Anthony Richardson has gotten is out for the season injury, even though we're big fans of Anthony Richardson because we like Cam Newton and he reminds us of Cam Newton so much. But would you say, Lawrence, that you are pleasantly surprised with the way this new staff and this team has performed this season?
Well, I'm one of those rare few people that felt like if everything after going through every training camp on the sidelines, watching the team, you know, entering the season, I was like, I think this team can win between 6 and 9 games this year. You know, Anthony Richardson was much more far along than I expected. Right. Especially
than anybody expected, arguably.
he was, while I was sitting there watching, you know, on the side, I was like, he dissects defenses. He reads defenses pretty good. He's so good in the pocket, right? Amazingly good at avoiding pass rush and navigating and things of that nature. But he was, you know, he did have the accuracy issues. It was very, very, very apparent. You know, one minute he could have the greatest pass you've ever seen in your life, and then the next minute you're like, how did you miss that wide open shot?
We know the feeling, bro.
That's Cam Newton's story, brother.
Yep. But we actually, little bit of a disappointment. The biggest disappointment, obviously, losing Anthony Richardson for the season due to a shoulder injury, it sucks, you know, not just for, you know, this year and what the Colts might have been, but for his development, right, as through the rookie season, really, really is going to hamper him in his development quite a bit. But the injuries and the complete just dismantling of the Indianapolis Colts secondary over the last 4 weeks has just completely obliterated our pass defense. I mean, it is totally off. We have given up 28 or more points in the last 3 weeks.
Well, you're facing a good team. To be honest, is that this is a team right now with the Carolina Panthers that have not had a particularly effective downfield passing attack. So, fortunately, your weakness is not our greatest strength, but maybe this is an opportunity for the team to get back on track. Let's do a little roll call real quick. Tim Estes, C3D's Ill Skills, Daniel Berry, Sports Highlights, Jordan Roberts, Wes Underground West, Seth Robinson, all in the house. Welcome to the C3 Beat Check as we catch up with Lawrence Owen, host of Believe in Colts podcast. I was reading on The Athletic today is that, I mean, look, as you guys played the Saints, I picked the Colts to go, to take care of business. Unfortunately, couldn't get it done. And largely because of a giant conversion pass by Chris Olave. Well, I think it was Carr to Olave. But on this corner who kind of got burnt, beat, left on an island. And I think that's hinting at what you're talking about is this guy – according to The Athletic and the story I was reading, you know, he wasn't even mentioned by the GM weeks ago or last week. And then all of a sudden he finds himself out there playing and having to go head to head with Olave. Is that just him getting scorched? Is that, or is that a sign that, man, you really, the defensive coaching is going to have to really start to take into consideration how those injuries are impacting their performance?
That's a really good question. Something that I have, we've talked about obviously on our review of the game, this past week. And in reality, when you have practice squad guys out there playing starting corner, you know, who haven't been with the other starters, you know, on the team. And I'm not just, I mean, we have rookies and second year guys all over the place, you know.
Right.
We started the season off with 2 second-year guys that had a total of 77 snaps in the NFL at starting corners. Both right. outside corners were starting like that. So we start off like that, and they were doing okay the first few weeks. You know, they were getting to know each other in the scheme and getting to trust each other, and then injury happened, and then injury happened, and then injury happened. And now we got practice squad guys, guys that we've picked up off the street, you know, being backups, you know, and things of that nature. And no one knows each other back there. You know, there's like 2 or 3 guys that you just don't know much about, and the rest of the team don't know them. They're still learning the scheme. And when you're playing a zone scheme, it's not like playing a man scheme. In a zone scheme, you got to be able to trust everybody around you, know how you hand off people from zone to zone, things of that nature. And when you're brand new like that, you're going to have massive breakdowns. Like we saw 3 or 4 really big coverage meltdowns in this past week against the Saints. And the question that you brought up, you know, is it the players or is it the coaching? You know, because
I guess kind of what I'm even asking is like, is that at some point you have to recognize the players you have and that inexperience of them, the limitations of them, and you have to account for that. So, and you have to adjust your style maybe of defense. Do you see the Colts looking at this last game and saying, we got to be more careful here?
I wish. Something else I said in our review, you know, that Gus needs to realize these guys are young. They don't know the scheme. You know, they will play immediately better if they went man. Every corner knows how to play man, right? Every quarter comes out of college knowing how to play man coverage. It's just not hard. It's cover the dude in front of you. You know,
but you got to be good, though.
Yeah. But at the same time, not every corner comes out of the college being able to play zone well, you know, at all.
It's interesting. I've had CK as a, for us, that's kind of crazy to hear because the Panthers have never run. I mean, I guess we were trying to get to a man scheme in the secondary, right. But J.C. Horn has just been hurt for his entire career. We've been in a zone defense for like 20 years.
Yeah, totally. Right. Colts been in a zone defense since about, what, 2018, 2019, somewhere around in there. So, yeah, I get you. Well, I mean, we had Matt Eberflus before we had Gus Bradley. So they were pretty much, you know, exactly the same defensive mind, in my opinion. One's a student of the other. So
it's interesting because we're both coming off of a similar situation with not having Stephon Gilmore come back to the team. If it's a similar situation to us, there's always the conversation. Was it that we didn't want him back or was it that he didn't want to come back to the team because he was going somewhere else, maybe to make more money with Indianapolis? Maybe be more competitive. And you know, you guys are now in a similar boat needing a secondary and now he's down in Dallas doing, you know, Stephon Gilmore things down there. It's painful, man, to see him still go out there and ball out, especially him being a hometown fan of the Panthers and not being able to get him on this team, especially with the injury things we had going on. I can only imagine how you guys feel being decimated just like we are. Do you get the feeling that it was a Stephon Gilmore decision or a Ballard decision?
Well, I talked to Gilmore, in December of last year, and we sat down, we had a nice long conversation. He's looking to win a ring, right? So I am 100% sure that this was a Gilmore went to Ballard and was like, look, can you do me a solid here? You're going to go with a rookie quarterback. You're obviously not, you know, thinking of making a Super Bowl this upcoming season. You know, you're going to be a lot of different changes. You're going to have a different head coach. Can you do me a solid and send me to somewhere where, you know, they might have a shot, you know, that have Super Bowl aspirations? That's where I'm getting that from. And Ballard's that kind of guy, right? I mean, the GM for the Colts, he's that kind of guy. He's like, you know what? Sure. And to be fair, you know, a lot of Colts fans are upset about that. So you shouldn't have let him go. Should have just kept him. But that speaks volumes to other players in the NFL during free agency, right? If a GM not only is
was
willing
he still
to pay
under contract,
guy, huh?
Was he still under contract, or was
yes,
he? Was oh, so he did a 2-year deal with
yes.
you guys?
Yes.
Okay.
He was
okay.
He was under contract for. He was signed last year for a 2-year deal.
Okay.
And yeah, so. If a GM is willing to, you know, hey, you don't want to be here. You want to go to a contender that's going to utilize you, maybe go get a Super Bowl ring.
Particularly you know, when you're like a Hall of Fame corner almost yeah. and like, you know, that is that's doing a tip of the cap to a vet that's been in the league.
Exactly. Exactly. So I don't understand. I mean, I get that hurt our secondary massively. Because Gilmore last year played solid. He's playing solid again this year for the Cowboys. You know, I feel like he played well with the Panthers, you know, while he was there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, he's great, dude. He's a great player. And it's like he's not aging out yet. I still am unconvinced that he would have that it was a money thing in Carolina. I'm still maybe it was. But like I feel like that's always been on his agenda is to be on a good team and get paid.
Yeah.
All right. I got to ask you this before we really get into the nitty gritty of how this matchup could look. Have you succumbed to the gravitational pull of Gardner Minshew's drip?
I like Gardner Minshew. I like his, I mean, he's got a great personality.
Yeah, dude. He's like, I call him White Cam. And not because everybody's like, he's not Cam. No, not the play, man. The swag, the drip. Swag,
yes.
God, he's got great style. He's cool as shit.
Yeah.
I mean, and he balls out, dude, for who he is.
Yeah. I mean, you tend to forget, though, he's like 6'1", or 6 foot, something like that. He's not a very big quarterback. He's not a big guy back at the quarterback position. But you can see the confidence that he has when he's back there, you know, behind the line, you know, in the huddle, things of that nature. Even when he's talking to reporters, you know, you can see how much confidence he has in himself and his ability. And I like it. I like that confidence.
You have to have it. If you're going to play quarterback, you can't play scared.
Nope. Nope. You absolutely cannot. Right.
Even if you're not great, you know what I'm saying? Is like you, I mean, if you're not, and look, he's not going to be the greatest quarterback, but he has outplayed a lot of dudes in this league.
Oh yes.
In some really interesting situations.
He just has two problems that one is
he gets flustered sometimes, he starts looking down and around.
Yeah. A little bit. When he's trying to avoid sacks, he's not looking downfield. He's looking for an escape route.
Yeah.
Right.
It looks like Baker Mayfield in those moments.
Yeah. And in that type of situation. And the other thing right now, I don't know if it's the turnovers he's had the last 3 weeks. I don't think that's a traditional thing for Minshew. Mm-hmm. Right.
No, because they've been late. You've been trying to come back. And, you know, it's like you have to force it downfield. Like, so I think one pick was like 2 weeks ago against the Browns. And that was right after they had just come back and taken the lead.
He had a couple fail on him in that game. Yeah. But he's had like 4 strip sacks, right, in the last 3 weeks. So that's an issue.
Yeah.
He's got to protect the ball better when he's maneuvering in the pocket. But his biggest issue, in my opinion, is in order for him to throw with any kind of power, he's got to be able to step up into the throw.
Yeah.
Right. So, you got to have really good centers and guards in front of you so that there's no defensive tackle or, you know, someone that's pushing the pocket in on him, because he absolutely, in order for him to put the ball between defenders, he's got to step into it. He ain't got that arm, this pure raw arm strength that a lot of quarterbacks.
Man, that's why he's undrafted. I think he was undrafted. He might have gone late, actually. I can't remember if he went.
Yes, I was actually on the Believe in Panthers pod yesterday. Yes.
The reason I bring up Gardner Minshew is first, I love him. Right. Yes, I love his swag. I love his drip.
Didn't you go mustache only just to Minshew mania? You were all on the Minshew magic.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Because he went to East Carolina momentarily in a weird time in our school history, and we went our stupid ass school and I forget who was. I think we had just gone to Scotty Montgomery at that time, and who was actually a coach for the Colts last year. I think Scotty Montgomery was.
Yes, the running back.
And it was just like we went with this other candidate, and Minshew was like, after sitting, he kind of sat for a little while. He's like, screw this, I'm out of here. And then he went and played well where I forget where he went after that. But big fan of Minshew. I like his style and I like the way he plays. You know, he outplays his ability, you know, his physical abilities. You see guys out there that have all the physical tools, that have all the traits, but also have had every situation. They've been the 5-star recruits. They've been on the greatest teams and all of this. And sometimes they don't play to what that ability could afford. Gardner Minshew outplays it. So I love that. All right. Let's talk about this. Is beyond the secondary, how the Panthers match up against the Colts in your mind?
Well, first off, look, I think your wide receivers, especially Adam Thielen and DJ Chark, will have a day. We've already talked.
Shark man sucks, dude.
No, not against Indy. He won't. I'm telling you.
God, I hope so.
The speed to cover him.
He has not been able to get off the line a single damn time this season.
We never play press coverage.
Yeah, well, that's going to be bad for Adam Thielen. That's going to be great for Adam Thielen.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be great for the rest of the... So here's the issue you run into is our separation with our wide receivers are abysmal against even some of the worst DBs in the league.
Well, I will say that Adam's going to have a monster day because Adam's a veteran that can find the soft spots and zones.
If they're not doing press coverage, they're going to allow – because his specialty this year has been short to intermediate. So his average yards per catch are around about 10, whereas most number one wide receivers in the league on a team are averaging anywhere between 15 to 18. So Adam Thielen is absolutely – just that dink and dunk. He is a safety valve for Bryce Young, and he's the only consistently getting open player on our entire team. And he doesn't drop the ball, which is also a very positive thing. I think Adam Thielen very well could be in for a game. I think even Tommy Trimble, who has somehow come out as being our best tight end, even with Hayden Hurst on the team, he's showed out the last couple of weeks, and he's got some speed. He's got some good separation, actually. So if those two guys can find a way to take advantage of that, that zone coverage that you know you guys have been running, I think that could be a big day for those two guys. But I can tell you right now, I'm not expecting Chark and I'm not expecting Mingo to be a big factor in this game, even when they have played against some of the worst DBs in the league.
I will say, now look, the Colts have got a long history against Chark, right?
Yeah.
Jaguars, right?
Yeah.
And Chark has always burned us. Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Guess who was his quarterback when he did that? Gardner Minshew.
There you go. Right. And, so. and that's the thing. You know, he's a speed guy. And look, you know who burned us the worst last week? It wasn't Olave. It was Shaheed.
Oh, it was Shaheed. Yeah.
Yeah. Because of his speed. Right.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, who's this dude? Well, he's got speed. And we have young guys that ain't real fast anymore, you know? So yeah, we're going to get hit by speed. I think if Shark can come down with the ball, he's going to make plays. I'll guarantee it.
CK, I still continue to not understand PFF's rankings and how they do this, right? I guess the power rank is the Colts are 27th, maybe because they've won games and the Panthers haven't.
I'm trying to figure out why we have power rank offense 31st when we're like one of the best offense. We're top 10 in every category in the NFL.
Right. Like every week I pull this up for PFF and I cannot figure out like how are we. And this is like the third time this has been the case where on the categories of defense and offense that the Panthers actually are ranked according to them higher, but then the overall ranking is low. So I just don't, none of these make sense to us, but I pulled it up just as a comparison because I stupidly pay for the $6.95 for PFF or whatever. And I don't have any other good website to go to. I guess maybe some of this has to do with strength of schedule as well, that the Panthers have had a little bit harder schedule, I guess they're saying, but tell us this, is the defense, how is the front, your defensive front been performing so far? Because the Panthers have been unable to get their running attack going this season.
Well, you might get that today. So,
I like this. I like the way this sounds, CK. We're going with two in a row.
Our defense is, look, we got some guys, we got some dogs on defense. We do. All right. But we've been hit with injuries and suspensions so much. One of our best defensive tackles, Grover Stewart, who is a monster, is gone, you know, for another four or five games.
Okay. Right,
due to suspension. So that hurts right up the gut. And his missing him beside DeForest Buckner has really opened up spots in the run game. So that showed up a lot. Now, granted, how much was that Alvin Kamara last week? Right, as opposed to
one of the greatest running backs in the league. The
missing of Grover, because Alvin is a solid, you know, top three back in the league. So that is a problem. So we'll see what happens. I love our defensive front seven overall, though. I think our front seven is one of the best in the league. when healthy and there together. Right.
Well, you guys are going to eat.
Stop. CK, we're going to get better each week. But man, our left tackle has been struggling over the last couple of weeks. But Austin Corbett coming back has helped us a lot. All right, let's switch to the offensive side of the ball. The trade deadline came and went for our team. We were not – strangely, there were some opportunities of people being interested in buying for us, which is odd when you're 1-6. I did have a theory that Davante Adams could be a good addition to this team because not for this year, but for the next 2 years, it would be the addition of where it would help the team. But we didn't even get into the seller's market. And one of the things that I saw or read was that Zach Moss, a lot of teams were calling up about him. He had just paid after the bizarre events that, you know, surrounded Jonathan Taylor. Somehow he comes out with a contract that I guess is it not that great of a contract that he got?
It is a very good contract, and I expected it from the beginning.
So why did it have to be so acrimonious throughout the process?
Because national media has got to have a storyline to focus on. Okay. That's what it was.
The pup list thing was strange.
Even Jonathan Taylor came out and said, I want to be an Indianapolis Colt. Chris Ballard came out and said, I want to sign Jonathan Taylor to a contract. This was back during training camp when all this was getting at its highest.
Yeah,
right?
When there was the national media gets overlooked.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Looked all that stuff.
Right? They ran with that Irsay quote.
Yep.
Which, you know what, is that, to be honest and to be fair to Irsay on that, it's the absolute truth.
It is.
It's like nothing. Everybody, the NFL wrong. Just will, like, I mean, it doesn't matter. Look, Cam, like, it just come and go over time. It doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah. I mean, should he have said it at the time?
Right. Probably not the most diplomatic.
Probably not, but. You know, nothing he said in anything, even when it came out and he was talking about the CBA and the running backs and their agents wanting, you know, to change the CBA and stuff like that and have a new, and Irsay's like, that ain't happening, you know, and no, it's not, you know, one position group wants to get all the owners and the NFLPA together to renegotiate a contract that is already set in stone until like 2026. That ain't happening, you know, and that's all he said. And everybody wanted to throw that in and say, well, Irsay don't want to re-sign Jonathan Taylor. Taylor's name wasn't even brought up in that, you know,
right.
It just happened to have been a coincidence that it was that, you know, it was the running back market that it was being talked about.
And it seemed like Jonathan Taylor's agent took exception to that. And maybe he ran with that narrative, even though Jonathan Taylor's name wasn't mentioned either.
Jonathan Taylor never said anything. That agent, he just signed right before then. And all that agent was doing was trying to get focus on Jonathan Taylor to try to get, I mean, he was doing his job, right?
Of course.
You know, flat out. He was trying to get Taylor the best contract he could get, whether it was an Indy or somewhere else. And that's all that he was focused on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, this is. I think you guys have an incredible running back room, and I think what you've done with that running back room is exactly what some of the best and most prolific offenses in the past decade have done. When you look at Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, when they were just a two-headed beast, then you had Freeman and Coleman in Atlanta, they were just unstoppable.
Chase then you had and
D'Angelo Williams. You had Ezekiel Elliott and Pollard there in the last couple of years in Dallas before Zeke left. And when you see these guys, when there's a soul back that's the sole focus, these guys don't last super long. You can't have everybody that's like Christian McCaffrey. And Christian McCaffrey, clearly when he was here, he was the only focus, and that didn't help his career. He went to San Francisco when he wasn't the only guy doing anything, and he's able to flourish. I think you guys have a great situation. It's always going to be a concern with Anthony Richardson. You know, with the injuries, it seems like it's one of those things that
he's struggled with injury throughout his entire career, through college, everywhere.
If I'm being honest, my fear for him is his shoulder injury. It's not on his throwing shoulder. It is.
Yeah.
Cam Newton's entire career was devastated after a shoulder injury.
Well, I did talk to Pro Football Doc about that as well. And he said, because it is not a rotator cuff issue,
shouldn't be an issue.
It should not have any
AC. Is that AC joint?
Yep.
Okay. To follow up on what CK is talking about with these running backs, was it that did it just come down to the fact that what CK is talking is like being able to have this rotation of two really good players was just turned out to be more valuable than the offers that they were getting for Zach Moss?
Probably.
Because I heard like most is a day three pick that people are offering.
Why would you do that when, you know, the dude was literally like 2 weeks ago, he was second in the, maybe still second in the league in rushing right now. Yeah. Right. I mean, and that's not Jonathan Taylor. That's Zach Moss, right? Yeah. Who even missed week one due to a broken arm. Right. So why would you do that? Why would you do that?
Minshew, man. Minshew Magic has got some weapons, though. That's what it is. And you struck lightning in a bottle with a guy that can catch anything and everything thrown his way in Josh Downs. Tell us a little bit about this rookie. Where did you guys select him? And how has he performed to this point? And how is actually this? You know, this Mike, CK, the way he's talking about us on their defense, the scary part is,
oh gosh,
they could put up like 40 against us too. What if this was like a shootout? I would be so happy. Like, we haven't had any excitement.
That's what we want, man. The most disappointing thing about this game is not having Anthony Richardson. Like, that was the highlight of this season, was that Bryce Young was going to get to go against every single rookie quarterback of the top four, just like you guys were technically, because you were going to be facing Bryce Young and
in other a row, three, too. We played Stroud last week. We would have taken Richardson. It just, what a great storyline it is. But this Josh Downs kid is just slaying it. Where was he selected at?
Third round.
CK.
I know.
I know.
And that's, listen,
and Ballard, and when he drafted him, he's like, I think we got to steal the draft.
Yeah, because
him and Reggie Wayne both said.
Yeah, that. Reggie Wayne said he thought he was the best receiver at the entire combine.
Yeah.
Jeez. I wonder, let me ask you this, because, I mean, Ballard seems to get a lot of players in the later rounds. I don't know how he hits on that first round, but he seems to get the players that continue to contribute all the way through their rookie contract. They start. And even if you want to talk about that linebacker that you guys had to let go to the Giants, you know, he's been playing. Well, yeah. Okereke, whatever it was. I remember that from Pat McAfee announcing his draft that year.
Name, but
exactly. Okereke. And but I mean, even with that, like, I mean, this guy was a second round, third round. I can't remember exactly where he was drafted, but he's a contributor and he's doing well on the Giants, who's not a great team, but I mean, Ballard seems to do a great job of building a team. It just seems like bad luck has hit you guys more often than not. Do you feel like Ballard is continuing with the fact that the success hasn't been there? Is he next in line to possibly leave the Colts? Or do you think that just because he's been able to hit on these diamonds in the rough later in the draft, that he's going to stick around for a while?
See, that's an interesting, that is a very heavy question among Colts Nation. Okay, you got a very heavy split in the fandom for Indianapolis with the Chris Ballard. Because you look at it, Chris Ballard, and you go, no division championships.
Right.
right? Losing overall record, right? Over the period of time, can't get a quarterback, right? There's a lot of push to, we need to move on from Ballard, but you look at his drafting. Oh, and free agents. He doesn't do trades, during, the trade deadline, doesn't go after anybody. He's
boring in that regard.
Yeah, he's in free agency. He doesn't make any splash signings, during free agency. But when it comes to the draft, he is absolutely a dog, right? He is very, very good.
That's what I want.
Both of our impact players are second and third round players.
Yeah.
Like that.
We know nothing about this.
We'll get those fifth rounders like Bobby Okereke or Zaire Franklin, who right now leads the league in tackles and tackles for losses. He was a seventh rounder, right?
Jonathan Taylor. Like Jonathan Taylor wasn't like expected to come out here
fourth?
And be the,
was he a fourth or
Jonathan Taylor was a second round pick. Oh, okay. Indianapolis Colts actually moved up into the second round
to get him.
But like, I remember the day it happened, Jim Irsay, the owner of the Colts, called Chris Ballard. The next pick after the Colts was the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Irsay's like, are you afraid Jacksonville will pick up Jonathan Taylor? Yeah. Don't you like Jonathan Taylor? Yeah. Won't you move up and go get him? And Ballard said, that's all I needed to hear. And he went traded up three spots and grabbed Jonathan Taylor.
We don't know anything about that. Our fourth, our second, third, fourth, anything after the first round for us is usually cut in 2 years.
We got Michael Pittman Jr. and Jonathan Taylor in a second round in the same draft.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's incredible. The funny thing
and
is
Downs is killing it. And you said he was a third. And third. We let Mango.
The hysterical thing about this is our GM prior to Scott Fitterer was exactly like Ballard outside of hitting in the later rounds of the draft. He was aces in the first round of the draft. That was Marty Herney. He built two championship teams. Well, let's just say one for sure. One championship team.
I would give a lot of credit to Herney on that other one too.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's built in championship caliber teams, but he was never one to go out and get. We never traded. We never went out
got
and
big free agents.
Got free never free agents there. Ever. And
we got Hall of Fame first round picks. So.
Dude, it was crazy. And it was for 10, 15 years, we had these just first round draft picks that were just hit every single time.
Just got 10 years. Peppers, be a Panther.
Luke, we had gross.
Beeson. The list just keeps going.
Unreal list. But he couldn't hit in the second, third, fourth, fifth round to save his life. Yeah. But he was able, but he didn't do this. He's the same way as Ballard in that regard. And we haven't had that. We haven't had a GM since that, who, and that's only Fitterer, who's been able to hit on the first round, second round, third round, fourth round, none of it. I can't even tell you how many times.
It's been awful.
How many drafts he's done, and I can't even tell you where the majority of those guys are anymore.
And it hasn't changed since we got Scott Fitterer. Diesel Skill says a 2025 conditional six round pick for Colts GM. We'll throw in Bo Rounds and Scott Fitterer. All right, we're worried about this passing attack because the Carolina Panthers secondary is really beat up, right? Really, really beat up, and similar to what you guys are going through. We're playing with C.J. Henderson, who, even though he's selected in the first round. He has not been awful for the Panthers. No, I know he's been on the ass end of a couple of plays but Panthers fans are hard on him. But thank God we got him in some ways. Without him, it would be a miserable. But we've got some problems back there. Hopefully, though, bring him back. I think Xavier Woods is back.
He was back last week. We're going to have Von Bell back.
Von Bell looks like he's going to be back. So we could be improving in the safety position. So we'll be watching that matchup too. This could get heated quick. I tell you, one thing is not. Go ahead.
How good is Troy Hill?
I mean, he's got our only interception, doesn't he, of the entire season?
He's a kind of he's one of those guys that is a veteran player that you add to your team and you're pleasantly surprised with. Okay. Right? It's like, man, this guy, you're like, oh, they go and get him, and you're like, what the hell is this guy, a 32-year-old, going to do? And
going to handle Josh Downs?
No.
Sorry. Yeah.
We're going to have to really have a lot of over the top help for that. Really, though, here is the thing. This is how we're going to slow your passing attack. We're just going to let your running backs walk through our defensive front and you won't need to pass. That is that what's happened.
Should have happened last week, but we went away from it.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't give the ball to Jonathan Taylor in the second half because of the flow of game. So let's move to this. Let's talk to quickly and we'll finish out with this kind of last comment. The coaching staffs, right? Is these coaching staffs are interesting because one, I said there was a lot of, at the beginning of the show, we said a lot of similarities and or some similarities in storylines from Anthony Richardson and Bryce Young to new coaching staff with Steichen. And really all of those Eagles coaches have impressed me. Even the weird dude in Arizona has outperformed what I expected. And then we have this connection to you with Frank Reich. And maybe I'll start with this. Do you think that Frank Reich worked well in Indy because I feel like he's just a guy that kind of is just so nice that just gets along with everybody. And this is an outside perspective from the Colts. I feel like Ballard's got an ego. And I feel like Frank Reich can work with people that have egos.
I think Ballard does have an ego. And in a way, I think he's got to have a little bit of an ego to be a GM.
Yeah, right? And then deal with Ursay.
Yeah, well.
He's not talking anything bad about Ursay on his show. He's like, nope, I love this dude.
Well, I mean, he's your boss. You know, he writes your paycheck out. You're not going to say something bad about him.
I was saying you.
Oh, me? No, I won't say anything bad about Ursay. Other than sometimes he does say some things that he off shouldn't the wall say, stuff. You know? Yeah. I mean, I
like him. Dude. You like him?
I love him.
Look, he's the longest tenured owner in the NFL.
Really?
Right. Yes. He is the longest tenured owner in the NFL. And right now he feels like, you know, in history, the longest tenured owners are the guys that step up for the other owners in general to make things happen in the league. I mean, Snyder would not be gone if it wasn't for Ursay.
Yeah. He's the guy that
stepped up and said, we need to get rid of him, you know? And then everything fell in line and Snyder's now gone. So
yeah, it actually took an owner stepping outside of the club kind of sense to make it happen because the what's his name? It wasn't doing anything.
No. So
look, he's the most relatable owner in the NFL too, by the way. Like he's
absolutely loved by the fans.
Yeah. He's loved the most relatable. The like when you look at somebody you could probably walk up to and just have a conversation with, and he'd be willing to do it. I don't know that there's any other, like everybody else would be ushered out of there. I feel like Ursay, he's got the personality where he's going to sit there and talk to you about everything under the stars about what's happened.
And then play a rock concert with him.
Yeah, he's got a heart of gold. It feels like he actually legitimately loves his players, which I really do believe he does. Okay. I think he's probably one of the greatest owners in the NFL.
Wow.
Just based on a lot of those pieces.
Yeah.
That's crazy. The outside media, how they're able to.
Yeah, they want to trash somebody because he had substance abuse issues.
Yeah, you know, well, welcome to the world.
Ago, you know, which everybody who's ever played in the NFL, like what, 65% of them at least have some kind of substance abuse issues, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. And
I feel like 65% of America has substance abuse issues.
Probably, right? But yeah, he got over that. It took its toll on him. It's very obvious, you know, physically that, you know, it took its toll on him. But he's became a very beloved owner with the Colts.
That's awesome.
You know, I mean, you think about he was willing to pay, what, $25 million to send an orca from one side of the country to the other, you know, just because, you know, it was the end of their lives.
Right.
Right. I mean, what can't you not love about someone that's willing to put that kind of money out for an animal that you don't even know anything about? You know?
Can we also, I think it's also worth agreeing that the Jonathan Taylor situation, if Ursay didn't have to deal with the idea of a cap, he would pay every single one of those players as much money as he possibly could. I have no doubt in my mind about it. I don't think it's a matter. A lot of people want to make it out to be like it's these owners against these players. It's not usually. There's a salary cap that's involved here that they have to play chess with. Like, yep.
This ain't baseball.
Right. It's there isn't this infinite amount of money going around that's going to allow them to just pay every player what they wanted. If that was the case, then Kansas City would be stacked with people across the board because nobody would want to go play anywhere else because they could just chase rings at Kansas City. I don't think that it was ever an issue with Ursay not wanting to pay Jonathan Taylor. It's just a matter of trying to find a way to play chess with the amount of money that he's going to need and the amount of signings they're going to have in the next 3 or 4 years.
I think the biggest issue with signing Jonathan Taylor was the fact that, we only won 4 games last year, and he just came off a high ankle injury surgery, right? Which he still was injured. Media was trying to pass it off as, oh, he's holding out, but he didn't. He was out there.
He was really on the PUP list for.
Yes.
Literally,
he was legitimately on the PUP list, still recovering. I mean, when the Colts gave him an offer to go out and seek a trade just to kind of see the market, right? Right before the season started. Think about this. When you're on the PUP list, you're not allowed to work out for anyone, not even a team, nobody. And you're out here trying to get on, look for a trade partner. If he wasn't hurt, he would have went and took that physical and got off that PUP list before he went out there so he could do workouts for other teams.
Right.
Good point.
Not being able to do those workouts, that would hold him back. There wasn't a single serious offer from any team in the NFL, not even Miami, contrary to what, reports were said, that Miami never even sent a single offer for Jonathan Taylor because, don't know what you're getting. You didn't know.
Howard
needed to see it.
Yeah, you have to not only make an offer, which is probably going to be more draft capital, you have to then, because everybody was clamoring for the Panthers to do this. I'm like, this makes no sense. We literally just got rid of a high dollar running back, and you're asking to send more draft picks than we got for Christian McCaffrey for Jonathan Taylor and pay him more than what we were paying CMC. It makes no logical sense for us non-contenders to be in the running for this. And I get it, man. Especially when you look at the fact that you still had Dalvin Cook out there on the market. There was still the question mark around Jacobs. Like, there was a lot of people
out there for a while too.
Yeah. I mean, he was unfortunately last year. I remember we were thinking about the upcoming offseason and the amount of players that were going to be free agents, and it was going to be bad for the people. It was never going to be a good offseason for all these running backs because you cannot, when you're flooded with really good running backs, the market's going to crash. It's just the nature of the beast, unfortunately.
Your top five guys are going to get paid, and the rest of them are going to eat what's left, and there ain't much left. Right. And that's just how the market works in situations like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think about your new coaching staff?
All right, so we have half a new coaching staff. When Shane Steichen came in, he kept all the defensive coaches from the previous year that was hired by Frank Reich.
Because he's a Frank Reich tree guy? Wasn't Steichen? Steichen
and Frank Reich knew each other from San Diego. They coached together for 2 years.
Okay. It was my paisan, the guy, the Sirianni that was with Frank Reich, right? Okay.
Yeah, Sirianni was under Frank Reich here in Indy. And, it's like a big triangle there.
There's always incest in coaching.
Oh, my goodness. You're absolutely right. But that's how you get some really good tree lines, right?
Yeah, definitely.
It is what it is. I love Steichen.
You
do? As a play designer, he is freaking amazing. This year, I have seen things I've never seen before. Like multiple plays I have never, not even in college, seen, and I'm like, this is pretty impressive, and they work. And now my biggest issue with Shane Steichen is he will find himself going away from the run way too early. He loves to pass the football.
It doesn't every coordinator in their heart.
But when you got an offensive line the way the Colts have and the running back room that you have, you utilize it.
That is John Fox in there. Is it John Fox a coach for you guys?
No. He was a couple years ago. He was
Who's he with now?
Fox was an assistant.
Oh, he's with the Lions.
Guy that kind of just gave his opinions on stuff.
Yeah, he's with the Lions now. That's what
it is. Yeah.
You guys need John Fox in there telling you to run the ball 98% of the time. It would probably help you guys right now. But so happy with Steichen. Now, the one we got to ask. Ugh. Frank Reich. We were so... Look, we came into this season putting an undue amount of expectation on our rookie quarterback and this coaching staff. Why? Because we had just exited a shit show of a coaching staff who had no NFL experience. We also then had been walking through a desert of quarterbacks. So we got this experienced superstar staff in our mind, we thought. We got this brand new shiny toy in Bryce Young, and has not gone well. And what recently, and just right before the Panthers' first win, Frank Reich passed the play calling on to Thomas Brown, reminiscing a little bit of what happened in Philadelphia when Sirianni passed it on to Steichen. But at the same time, this one really felt like it was because things were so bad. What do you think about Frank Reich? I never had in my bingo card at the beginning of the season that he could be a one and done coach. I don't think there's actually a reality that could happen. What do you think about Frank Reich and how he can perform in Carolina maybe past this year?
Well, Frank Reich is very heavy analytical, right? He relies, you probably know this by now, right? Very, very analytical guy. Doesn't go with his gut nearly as much as you'd like him to. Okay. He started to learn how to do that the last 2 years of Indy. Because before that, it was all analytic. Oh, 59% says go ahead and do this. You go for it, you know, on fourth down at your own 42. you know, things of that nature.
Like the Chargers guy.
Yeah. So here's the deal. It's going to take time. I like Frank Reich. He's a great players coach.
Okay.
He's got a good offensive mind. A very good offensive mind, and he's got a feel for when he's focused on the game and not making the play calls, when he's not having to worry about the play calls.
Did he make all the play calls? Did he make the play calls?
He made all the play calls in Indy, but like on deep, you can see his time management when the defense is on the field as opposed to when the offense is on the field.
Right? Yes, he's had problems. Like he had it looked like, and I hate to say that is because it felt like he was a slightly underwater, overwhelmed.
Yes,
This I think is a positive move for him to step back, but you can see it on his face. He doesn't want to.
No, he won't. You know, I mean, if you've been pulling the trigger, so to speak, you know, for the last how many years, right?
Right.
And now you're handing the gun to, you know, the guy to your right. I mean, that's something you don't want to do, you know? So
this move could benefit us,
but he needs to. It's a situation. He coaches better when the play calling isn't on it. He still can draw up the plays. He can still, you know, help make the game plan. You get all that stuff situated prior to the games, things of that nature. I think he's good at all that. But he needed to find someone he could trust to make the play calls. And, you know, he had that in Indy and Sirianni, but then Sirianni right off to, you know, Philly. So, you know, didn't have that no more.
This makes me feel good, CK.
Right. Like,
is that, are you taking this in a positive way? Because I was worried that it was like, this is was falling off the rails already, but this might save Frank Reich. Like it saved Sirianni.
I mean, you never know, dude. Like if it can, and it can put us in a position to to be better. I mean, I think that's one of the things that a head coach is intended for, is to be a manager of the game. And if he is analytical, like he talks about, like he was talking about in his press conference after the game, this was a change of pace for him because he was able to actually talk with the guys up top about analytics, think about the game five steps ahead, as opposed to what's next on the plate, right? I think that's exactly what you need from a head coach. You need to be thinking about, okay, so this is working, this isn't working. What can we do if we get to this situation? You can think about three different scenarios at once without worrying about whether or not
instead of being so caught up in that exact moment, thinking ahead.
Exactly.
And, you know, we saw this, Lawrence, is that there's been, you know, I almost think that Frank Reich's too honest too. Like, he just says exactly what happened, and you almost need to, you know, you don't have to lie, but lying through omission could be okay sometimes. So he says, that was on me. He was like, I mean, he does, which I like that he's fallen the sword for everybody. He was like, yeah, I called a play that was specifically for Adam Thielen. He wasn't on the field. And we're like,
he did that with us too.
Yeah. But you don't got to tell him that. You could just say it was a miscommunication. Right. Or what was the other one, CK? Oh, he forgot Terrace Marshall Jr. was on the team. That one was a fun one. But
yeah, you don't have to say those things. You don't want to share all the information because it makes you look really bad.
Yeah. You get like, I'm a oversharer too. I'm too honest sometimes. And I can, you know, sometimes at least you know where you stand. All right. Well, that's kind of cool stuff with Frank Reich. And I did have, was there any other question? There was one other thing I wanted to ask about Frank Reich, but now it's escaping me. That does make it sound good that him taking a step back could be good for the development of him as a coach.
I think if he would have had the ability, if Shane Steichen hadn't went to Philly and he was able,
Nick Sirianni.
Thank you. So many guys are coaches now. We got Matt Eberflus that left the Colts and became a head coach, and Sirianni. But
Sirianni's a paisan. He's an Italian kid. That's what we like about him.
So if he had still had Sirianni, I think he would have probably passed it on to Sirianni, right? Colts fans were clamoring for it. We could see it. We was like, look, you have too much on your table. You know, we knew he needed to give up the play calling. You know, not that he was doing bad in play calling. It's just it was affecting his ability to manage the game.
The team.
Yes, the whole thing. You know,
I agree. Good. And this makes me feel awesome, CK.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like I said, that's what I'm hoping that this is going to continue to be a positive. You know, so I think like I said, I'm not ready to write off Frank Reich's Carolina Panthers head coaching future. Quite honestly, I think that he could be this move could very well propel him into what his head coaching career should have been in Indianapolis.
It's a good possibility. And you also got to remember, look, all right, you got a bunch of young guys and bunch of guys thrown together that are just meeting each other for the first time in this past year, right? They all got to get to know each other. You know, I mean, Frank's got to understand, you know, the quarterback fully 100%. The quarterback's got to understand his offensive line and his receivers and all this stuff. This isn't something that just snap overnight.
Yeah, but the NFL doesn't wait very long.
I know. And, but
I mean, even if it's wrong,
a year, right? You need to give
it. You know, he brought it up that he was still getting to know the staff.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. While he believes in these guys, and he's like, mm-hmm. I hired some people that I haven't worked with, you know, and so they're like, it's like their habits and their style or they're mm-hmm. learning. So that's a great point. All right, man, we're approaching an hour. So, man, thank you so much, man. You've been so generous with your time, Lawrence. I know you have a ton going on your own podcast and your own. I hope your wife recovers swiftly, by the way. Can you tell our fans how they can find your work? Because what they'll do is they're going to go and track your stuff down over the next couple of days. And they're consumers. The people that listen to our show are the ones that listen to everything. Like we don't got the casual. They're the ones that go and they'll be like, well, did you see this guy in the background of this picture? So they're going to come to your podcast. They're going to listen to your stuff. tell them where they can find it, what you're talking about, when the next episode's coming out, or what you guys are doing for the game, after the game, next week and beyond.
So you can find me on Twitter at Colts_Law and Instagram, but I generally, and I'm not on Instagram nearly as much as I'm on Twitter. Me either. My YouTube channel is Lawrence Owen, spelled just like this, but you could type in Believe in Colts or Colts Law. You will find my stuff. I do a lot of film rooms.
Oh, nice.
I got my co-host is a former starting NFL guard. And so I've had lots of co-hosts. I've had DeQuell Jackson as my co-host. I had Rodney McLeod last year was my co-host. He's starting safety for the Colts. Now he's a starting safety for the Browns. And yeah, so that was an interesting situation, right? My former co-host was playing against me 2 weeks ago, and I was like, don't hurt my guys, God. Pick up my phone, texting him, hey, man. You
know? Yeah, go easy on him.
But yeah, we will definitely be getting into a lot. It's Wednesday. I generally start getting heavily into the week on a Thursday.
Okay. Right?
So starting tomorrow, I will be having a bunch of stuff starting out Thursday, Friday, Saturday on my channel for Believe in Colts and Colts Law, breaking down the upcoming games. So this was fun. I appreciate you.
We might need to get him up with Cody next week to do a crossover film review.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. To be able to do a breakdown of all of it, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you're kind of looking at what happened from both sides of the ball on some stuff. That would be awesome. All right, man. Thank you so much, Lawrence. This is the C3 Panthers podcast brought to you by CarolinaCatChronicles.com, where we're here live every Tuesday night. We're in our 11th year. Haven't missed a week yet. Now, we've had to move it a couple of days and shift it around every now and then. But the C3 Panthers podcast is rocking and rolling for you guys. We do it because this is the community that we love to hang out with. We do it for fun. And we appreciate everybody's time and listening. CK, thanks, man, for taking the time out. Lawrence, thanks for hanging out with us tonight. Let's get the heck out of here.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.